The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
It's just going to be like up high.
Radio X. This is the Evening Show podcast with me and producer Finn.
Hello.
How's it going, Finn?
Very good. We're in a different studio today.
It is. We're next door to Kelly Brook right now.
We are.
Yeah.
There's an aura.
There is. She is wearing a denim outfit today. That's all I can add.
Okay. I'm sure people are loving that.
They're thrilled with that kind of detail. We've got great guests this week as well. The Weird Amazons, they are back with new music. That new song, Mothers, I think it's outstanding.
I really like the tune. And they were good lads. I mean, we've had them in before, but they were really good lads, weren't they?
Really good boys. Yeah, I can't wait to see them.
I really liked how he had a message and he knew what he wanted to say.
Yeah, he's an articulate boy, yeah. Matt Thompson, the front man of Amazons. He's a really bright boy. And also part of a really good crop of musicians from Reading.
Of course, which they mentioned, yes, and Dara Karma, Matt Maltese.
Matt Maltese, yeah, really good bunch. And they are playing their hometown gig, Reading and Leeds Festival. Good luck with the guest list on that one. We've also got Josh Withercombe and James Acastervin, who you know really well through John Robbins and Ellis James.
Of course, yeah, great comics, really, really nice guys.
Yeah.
And they've got a new show out on Dave, Hypothetical, yes. And it's pretty funny.
Oh, such a pleasure having them in.
We both watched it at the same sort of time, and we were both raving about it.
I'm taken with it. It's really, really good. They've got excellent comedians on there. And we were talking about it. It's their crop of comedians who've come through at the same time.
Totally.
So they're not the boys just breaking through anymore. They're now established. They are sort of the senior pros.
It's that thing, you remember who was on Mock the Week, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And now it's all of that gang, isn't it?
Yeah, and if you get a chance, watch Hypotheticals. Excellent. It's on Dave on Wednesdays at 10 o'clock.
And one of the guests is John Robbins, our very own Radio X's John Robbins. And he's on the podcast as well.
It's slightly odd having to interview somebody from the same station, isn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen very often.
Not really.
I'm trying to think of any other time it would maybe take place. I suppose when we had Felix from the Maccabees, that might happen when he sometimes stands in, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But then even then, it's sort of like, that was a moment, wasn't it?
Yeah.
This is like, well, your colleagues.
You keep expecting Robbins to say it. And up next on Radio X. Anyway, we had Robbins on. He was great value. And on Monday, classic album chat, Green Day, American Idiot. What a brilliant story Vin uncovered about that as well, about missing tapes, which led to that album being recorded. What a story, Vin.
Amazing. And I'd never heard this beforehand.
Yeah.
And, well, people can, yeah. I want people to hear this, yeah.
Yeah, excellent. Well, listen, enjoy the Evening Show podcast. Loads of comedy on there, some great music as well. And I'll speak to you later.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
I'm Gordon Smart, and I can tell you I've got some guests on the show this afternoon. Both from this parish, I think we can say.
Yeah, yeah.
Josh Withercombe, James Acaster. James, I'm going to steal a line from your new show, Hypothetical. He's a man, if he runs too fast, the corduroy will set him on fire.
Yes.
Written by Josh Withercombe. And Josh, it's great to have you both, both of you back in the studio.
So happy to be back. We were wondering whether it would be mentioned that we used to have... So I had a show on... I don't know whether I can say these words.
Yes.
XFM.
Check the sheep.
You've dead named them.
And James used to come on every week and tell us a scrape from his life.
Yeah.
Got a book out of it. Unbelievable.
I'm really landed on my feet being your mate. Yeah, yeah. Got a whole book out of it.
James, in all seriousness, did you give Josh anything as a thank you for that?
Yes, I gave him the privilege of writing the foreword.
For free.
Yeah.
I love to do that.
Things have got a little bit more glossy since you were last in here. I think we had Queens of the Stone Age on and they said it was like being on the inside of a mint.
Did that?
It's quite shiny, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's very... I just said it, yeah, it feels like we're in the diary room or something like that and we're meant to...
Yeah, I'm going to vote for Sada.
God, that's an old reference, that one.
Yeah, that's my favourite.
Edinburgh's finest yogi.
What series is Sada?
One.
She was first to go in series one.
First person ever to go.
Yeah.
Come on then, Josh, give us the full lineup.
I did it the other day, actually.
I was there for this.
It was at James. This is how lame it was. It was at James's birthday. I ran through everyone that was in Big Brother 1.
Oh. Yeah. And that was the main event. I texted everyone going, do you want to come to my birthday? Josh should be reciting everyone on BB1.
What a talent.
Right, you're here to talk about Hypothetical.
Yeah, we were allowed to promote Big Brother.
Yeah. You've got this new show, Hypothetical, which I noticed is executive produced, written, produced, starring, presenter, Josh Withercombe. You've covered
not just me. There's lots of writers. There's two co-stars.
Yeah.
But I've got half a finger in all the pies.
Yeah. Enough that the rest of us don't want to eat the pie anymore.
And then Acast is involved, so he gets the book deal off the back of this.
Yeah, yeah. I can't wait for the book. Yeah. And sweet little forward in there for you. keep playing. So you got a finger in that pie as well. Don't worry.
So we spent the afternoon, me and producer Vin, watching the first two episodes, and it's really good stuff.
Oh, thank
really,
you.
Really good stuff. Well done, gentlemen. There's a beautiful moment of puppetry. Yeah. We'll get to that in a second. You've also gotten a great cast of comedians to support you along the way.
We were delighted with all the comedians. What was interesting when we came to like write our list of people we wanted on it is that kind of realisation that your generation of comedians are now the generation of comedians that are on things and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, we're not the new guys anymore.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, like you can book Romesh and that's considered for some reason a good booking.
Just safe pair of hands now.
Does the phone just ring with people saying, I've got to be on your new show? I heard it's been commissioned.
No.
Because, so it's kind of like series one, we kind of get exactly what we wanted anyway, but like everyone we asked wanted to do it because our friends, we've worked together before, but everyone else is like, let's see if it's any good. And then I'll try and get on series two.
why put myself out there?
Yeah.
So I should ask, what's it all about for those who don't know?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Go on, James, you fire away.
Josh poses hypothetical situations to the guests.
Yep.
They have to say how they would handle that situation, and then I dole out the points depending on how well I think they've coped with the hypothetical.
Yeah.
So it's the same game that we've all been playing with our mates in pubs for years.
Yeah.
And we've been like, put it in front of camera.
That's what you do.
We've got an idea. Film it. There you go.
Josh is
doing Conkers next on Dave.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, because you've all come through together and done so many gigs together, it does feel like you're sitting in the pub with you two. Having to carry on.
And we're just trying to be good hosts, really. We were chatting earlier about the difference between being a guest and a host, and like really appreciating that it's your, as a host, it's your home.
Yeah.
And you've got to make it comfortable and welcoming to everybody, and then they can be relaxed and funny.
Give us a little peek behind the curtains as well. Do you have a drink when you're doing the show?
I don't. When
we were doing like the pickups at the end, so it'd be like the bits I've fluffed on autocue and stuff, I'll have red wine in my mug. So if I've got red wine lips, that's not the first take. Victoria Corran, we had on one of the first records, Victoria Corran Mitchell, and she halfway through was like, could I get a wine? This would work really well if I had a wine. And then from then, I think
everybody then on set was like, we can ask for that. We can ask for wine.
That's the rules.
Right, as men formerly of this parish, would you like to choose a song? You know your music inside out, I know that, James. Josh, I know that you like the right music as well. Fire away, pick a tune.
Be up for like an REM song or something. Do we play REM on radio?
You can have REM, yeah. Night Swimming if you like, or something else.
Night Swimming.
Yeah, let's have Night Swimming.
Yeah, yeah.
What we've done is we've really brought the party to Radio X.
Yeah, yeah.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Can I just talk to you for a second, Josh, about your tour first? We'll get on to James's in a second. Sell it away. It's October to December. You're travelling the country and hypothetically living in a service station.
Hypothetically living that. There's no hypothetical about it. I'm going to do it. Costs are kept to a minimum. bit much. It's on tour. Just before people in Wales and Scotland complain, there will be other legs containing dates in Wales and Scotland.
That has been
a social media storm that I did not need. I've just started writing it, and I'm loving it again. I've done stand-up for like 8 years, and I got a bit tired of it, and I had a year and a half off, and I'm now really enjoying it again. And, yeah, I don't want to make big claims, but it's going to be funny.
No, listen, we've asked so many great comedians over the years these two questions.
Okay.
Your best or worst heckle?
Do you know one that stuck with me is when I was in Edinburgh. The first year I was in Edinburgh, I was comparing a show and I wasn't doing a good job. And do you know what? I hadn't thought about this, but it was 10 years ago. Mm. And the guy in the audience said, in 10 years, you'll be average.
Oh.
And he wasn't wrong. Here I am now. I've reached average.
That's good. And I was going to say worst gig as well is the other one.
Worst gig. The Christmas gig. And I turned up at the pub and it was one of those pubs. You know those pubs where they're like, it's like intricate. So it's not a big room. It's like you go around.
Yeah. Mm.
And so it was all different diners at different tables. And I remember going, well, where am I meant to stand? And the guy said, what I thought is you could just go table to table and do a joke for each of them. Oh. Like I was some kind of close-up magician. That was a night when I really hit my head hard on a metal beam at East Grinstead Station. Awful night. 50 quid I got for that.
Painting a fantastic picture of life as a travelling comedian.
Exactly.
Right, we'll share James's paint in just a second on Radio X.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
This is the Evening Show. I'm Gordon Smart and we've got returning guests tonight. I'm thrilled to say that Joe and Matt from the Amazons are back in the studio for the first time in 18 months to 2 years, I'm going to say.
Yeah?
Is that right? Welcome back, boys.
Thank you.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, hopefully we won't leave it as long next time. Yeah.
Well, you've got to tell me, has it been hard work producing the new material, or have you just been enjoying being rock stars?
I think we enjoyed that aspect a little bit too much for the last couple of years. But no, it's actually been really nice the last year to get kind of stuck into the new music and kind of get our heads in a new world and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, creating new material. We're artists, so like we want to write new stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, we're so excited to come back. We're so excited to be on the show and to show everyone what we've been working on.
Can you paint a little picture of that for me then? Do you really throw yourselves into it and sort of keep a disciplined hours, get yourself in the studio at 9 o'clock, leave at 9 o'clock at night?
Or it's a groove. It's right. Definitely a groove, and it was hard to get into it. Maybe this time last year when we'd just come off a good 2 years of touring, and we'd just come off the road. We'd done a really fun touring career in Japan, and we tried to get straight back into the writing, and we were a couple of days in and it wasn't going well, and we were looking at each other like, we need a break, lads. Yeah. This isn't going well. And we did that, and we tried to just shake it up a little bit and kind of challenge ourselves and go to new places and stuff to kind of just inspire us a little bit, and it worked really well, and I think this is easily the best stuff I think we've ever done.
Yeah, we spent about 3 weeks in this place in Wales called Three Cliffs Bay. Mm-hmm. On recommendation, actually, from a friend. It was this guy had hand-built a house made of wood.
It's a guy called Skippy Dave.
Skippy Dave, yeah.
What a great name.
Yeah.
And he called the house Treetops.
Right.
And we just kind of, like, sunk into this kind of world, and we couldn't kind of tell. It was, like, these long summer days and then even longer, like, kind of nights where we were writing and just kind of bonding in a different way to touring, because it's so, like... Mm-hmm. Stops that and it's kind of hectic when you're on tour, but I think we definitely grew as a unit and just as friends and as like brothers and all of the above, and we've come out of it with just some music that we're really proud of. It was quite a chilled process on the writing, but then the recording became a little bit more hectic.
I was in Mono Valley as well. We did the record there, which was really good to be in a residential space, just completely closed off, almost replicating the writing process in a way.
Yeah. So was this written during the summer then? Because does that show in the music that you write, do you think? I'd imagine that makes a huge difference if it's a summer, lovely, long days.
Oh, no, I don't know. I don't want to disappoint you on terms of the turn of the record.
Like summer sing-alongs.
Yeah. You know what? It was like... The only thing that kind of made sense at the time we came to Three Cliffs Bay and kind of escaped a little bit was writing the music. It felt like our personal lives and kind of the world that we were inhabiting, the outside world, it was all a little bit confused and a little bit not knowing where things are going. And like I said, it was the only thing that made sense. And I think that probably is reflected across the record, and Mother especially. It just kind of mimics a lot of uncertainty and a lot of... there's nothing specific. I don't know if bands have an obligation to kind of really get super political about things, but you kind of can't help but be a mirror to the kind of tone of what's going on at the moment. And it just so happened that there was similarities in our own personal lives. And this trip to Three Cliffs Bay and the kind of subsequent album that came out of it, including Mother, like probably reflects that.
Yeah, we've heard some great... In the office, somebody said it's got a bit of Black Sabbath about it.
Cool.
A bit of Foles, even a bit of Tom Smith in the delivery of the vocal from editors as well. So some good stuff being said about it. Shall we play it for the first time?
Let's do it.
Right, here we go. For the first time, the Amazons. This is Mother, the new song from the lads. Enjoy.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
That was Amazon's first time on Radio X. The song is called Mother. I've got Matt and I've got Joan here in the studio. And lads, that song speaks to me, right? Is it a little bit of a critique of social media and some of the nonsense that's written on there? A little bit of a pointed barb at that?
Maybe. I think you can point at social media. I think just generally, we're at a time where no one seems to have space for anyone that makes mistakes.
Yeah.
There doesn't seem to be a lot of second chances. There doesn't seem to be a lot of leeway. And there's a lot of righteousness, and I'm not buying it at the moment. Yeah. And that song started as a kind of almost a bit of plea for forgiveness a little bit, like I'm only human and this is what I do and all this kind of stuff. But then I heard a track, one of Jack White's favorite tracks. It's called Grinning in Your Face by an artist called Son House. He's one of the first kind of Delta Blues artists. It's from that documentary, It Might Get Loud,
yeah,
that Jack White does with The Edge and Jimmy Page, and he was talking about this track, and I heard it, and it was so raw, and it was a real defiant track, and I thought, this is so much more empowering and so much more positive, and I want to change the lyrics to this song, mm-hmm, and kind of, hopefully people can kind of, yeah, feel empowered by the sonics of it, but also the lyrics.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you know, we all make mistakes and you kind of need to own it rather than pretending that you're, you know, perfect.
Well, the first thing I thought when I heard it sonically is I cannot wait to hear this live.
Yeah.
You know, it's got something about it that's going to shake the fillings out of your teeth.
Yeah.
You've got some dates announced as well. So you've got Reading and Leeds, big festival dates to talk about. A neighbourhood festival,
yeah,
which is pretty new on the festival circuit as well. But Reading and Leeds is a homecoming for you as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think it's really special that we're playing on the same day as another band from Reading, Sandara Karma. I think it's going to be a really fun day. Playing on the same day as Foo Fighters as well. Yeah. Huge influence for us. And I mean, some of our favourite shows ever was in that. It was the Enemy Tent. And so we're super excited to go and play it.
How'd you carve up the guest list for that?
Oh, don't start, mate.
My parents are actually going to Leeds because there's less people going to it.
Yeah, yeah. You have to start a ballot.
Yeah, this is true, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be, just the first two rows, all the relatives of Sindara Karma and Amazons.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how would that mix go?
That would be interesting, I think. But no, I think it was really fun to kind of start things off with them in the same town, and we felt like something was really bubbling away. But now we've gone completely different sonic directions, which is probably for the best, I think.
Radio X. Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Right, this is Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart. Josh Whitcomb and James Acaster are here. And Mr. Acaster, you've got a tour as well. It's got a good name, I would say.
Thank you very much.
Cold Lasagna Hate Myself, 1999.
Yeah, Cold Lasagna Hate Myself, 1999. It's about the worst year of my life, which is 2017. Don't mention 1999 once in the show. I don't even mention Cold Lasagna. But it was a name that I had to give the show at short notice. But it does sum up, I'd say it sums up the spirit of the show and what the show is about, the emotional core of the show. Yeah. So that's fine.
James, we have shared in Josh's pain of his worst gig. Would you mind telling us one where you sometimes wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat remembering?
I've got many, many bad gigs, all of which you can read about in Classic Scrapes, forward by Josh Whitaker. The one that was unquestionably the worst, that I did some gigs in some woods, and the whole audience had been on mushrooms all weekend at a music festival, and we had no microphone, and we were at the bottom of a hill, and they were all on this big slope, and while it was happening, we were getting heckled, getting stuff thrown at us. And then a guy came up to me from the audience and asked if he could go on and tell the joke. And when I let him do that, he dropped his trousers while I was still on stage. And then a woman who was dressed as a dog jumped on the stage and started slapping him in the face while I was still standing next to him. And then the lights went out, and that was the end of the entire festival. Every bad gig I've had since then, I always just think, well, you're not in that situation again, are you, James? So it's okay.
Excellent. More from James Acaster and Josh Whitcomb in just a second on Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
I'm Gordon Smart. This is Radio X. I've got Josh Whitcomb and James Acaster in the studio today, and I'm really excited because I get a chance to fill my book in. I'm writing a terrible toilet book at the moment called Slash Gordon. Start with a pun, off you go. Years in newspapers taught me an awful lot.
Yeah.
Now, Slash Gordon's about awkward encounters in the bathroom. It started off for me with Sean Connery, which was just incredible. You know, standing next to him at your right. And you have to find something to say, don't you, when you're just two men in a cubicle. So I looked at him and said, it's a real pleasure to meet you, Sean. And he said, now's not really the time, is it, son? But from that day on, I wondered who's the most famous person Sean Connery's been at urinal beside. Would you like to take it and run with it?
Do you know what? I had a kind of corporate gig a couple of years ago, because I'm on the last leg. Some people think I'm disabled, so I got there and I said, can you show me to the toilet? And the woman was like, yeah, here's the disabled toilet. And I thought, I can't say no. So I went in and I was like, this is a disaster. And then I came out and there was a disabled person waiting to go in.
Oh, no.
And it was just the worst experience.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing you shouldn't say on the radio, in fact.
Yeah.
But that was politeness, because I didn't want to go to her. No, I'm not disabled, because I thought that'd be worse. But
the height of politeness, using a disabled toilet.
What I'm trying to say, guys, I'm the good guy here. Yeah.
Somebody spotted it as well. I said, I saw that, Josh. With yeah. He's really got above himself.
I went to see Tim Key at the Arcola Theatre, yeah. And I had too many drinks beforehand. And you know when you're at a festival and you need to go to the toilet so badly, your kidneys start to hurt.
Yeah.
And I would have got out, but I genuinely, the only time I've been to see theatre in the round. So the only way out would have been to cross the centre of the stage.
Oh, no.
And then I thought, I'm going to have to get out. And I got trapped behind. So I thought, I'll get down behind the seating and go round the kind of...
Yeah.
And I got trapped behind the seating. It was one of the worst experiences of my life. And then it got to the end of the show. And I walked across at an angle... of like, you know, like Mrs. Doyle in Father Ted. I was like, it was just one of the worst experiences of my life.
So you're both at a level now where people are going to recognise you at TeaBay services come October.
Yeah, well, we're both at the level where we go to TeaBay services, mate.
Yeah.
Scotch eggs.
What a selection. There's always a time on tour, that place of the gods, you look forward to the leg of the tour where you get to go past TeeBay services, especially if there's like, you got to go, you get to pop in on the way back as well.
Yeah,
I got to have a meal there and then get some treats for the road that usually will last me for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
I can't tell wait. You what, I'm going to get some Florentines.
People say comedy's not as rock and roll as it used to be.
It is, mate. This is rock and roll. My dentist wouldn't tell me to do this. Go and eat all those Florentines.
Awkwardly, I've only got one bottle of whiskey. We normally give guests a bottle each. And on this occasion, there's only one bottle left. Now, I thought I'd challenge you both as a little test. Take a hypothetical question.
Oh, lovely.
Should you be the winner of the bottle of whiskey? Who would then have the best 24 hours after it was drunk with the story to tell?
Oh.
Well, I would throw up.
Sure, you're a big...
I'm a big thrower-upper.
Have you talked about this on TV before, that you maybe not the best at holding your drink?
I'm not great at it.
He's not the best. No. Do you know what? It's weird he is the best. Because, like, he's the first one that it shows that he's drunk. So of all our friends, it's like really early in the night, it's like, oh, he's hammered. But he's the last one standing.
Yeah, I can keep going at a bad level for a long time.
So you stay at that level. So you get to that level, it's like, oh, he's done. And then you're that level all night, and then the rest of us are like unconscious, and you're still walking around drinking people's dregs. Fine.
But I'm also, I do throw up.
Tactically.
Well, yeah, that gives me too much credit.
James Acaster, Josh Withycombe. Hypothetical is out every Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Eight shows, I believe. Is that
yes,
right?
Eight shows.
And then who knows the second series?
Who knows?
Is it true John Robbins is in it at some point?
He is.
He's in it at some point. And let's just say the Milky Bars are on here.
You can also see James Acaster and Josh Withycombe on tour at the end of this year. Go and see them. They're great men. Thanks, boys.
Thank you very much.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, this week we have been graced with the presence of modern comedy royalty. We've already had Acaster and Widdicombe, and now we have the Prince of the Family, Mr. John Robbins of this parish. Welcome to the studio.
Hello to you, sir.
And he is here. Mr. Robbins, just first of all, a big pat on the back. Congratulations, your punctuality. You're right at the top of the leaderboard of guests we've had who turn up on time.
It was about 20 minutes early.
Yes.
Yeah, and also had time to get a little coffee there.
Yes, living up to the reputation, Mr. Robbins. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
Really
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. You're here to talk about business, but there's an awful lot of other stuff I want to ask you about.
There's an awful lot of business, there's an awful lot of pleasure.
You are the expert in self-lacerating, piping hot shame.
Correct.
And you're going to turn this into a new stand-up tour at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Have you written it, John?
No, I've written some of it, but you never know how much of what you've written will end up being in the final show.
Yeah.
I've got a gig tonight in town where I'm going to try out some more stuff. So it's quite an exciting period because there's sort of no pressure.
Yeah. So often in the show we speak to artists as they're about to reveal their music to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Are there similarities when you're giving the new material a spin for the first time?
No, because something that makes me quite jealous of musicians is that when they reveal their music, it's finished and it stays like that forever.
Mm.
So when I get to the point where this show will be ready, it's still going to be different every night and may succeed or fail. Because like musicians, famous musicians don't tend to get like bad reactions from crowds, if you know what I mean, unless they're sort of, they do something stupid or awful. But gigs always tend to go well. If you're, I doubt Ed Sheeran's ever died on his ass.
Are you a surprise guest tonight, though? Do the audience know you're coming, or is it just to turn up into a comedy store?
That's a good question. I think they know I'm coming. They probably wouldn't make a difference if they did or didn't. I don't think it's not like, you know, Michael McIntyre's dropping in to do 10 minutes of a pub.
Listen, on the last tour, I saw you twice. Producer Vin, a good friend of yours, we went on a date to see you in the South Bank. And it was about,
The Underbelly.
That was a lovely go, a lovely show at the Underbelly. And then we saw you.
The
also
guy got the sound cue wrong.
Did he? Not that you remember.
I remember vividly. See, and I remember looking at him after I'd gone through it with him twice before the gig. And I remember waiting for about 5 seconds. Then I remember hearing him sigh and hitting the sound cue.
I thought that was part of the show.
No, never.
Maybe build that into the next one. And then we saw you as well in Hammersmith. The Darkness of Robins was the tour. And I think it definitely fitted into that category that Jimmy Carr talks about with humour, where you get a giggle and then a, ooh.
Nice.
Which is the perfect laugh. Would you agree with that with Jimmy?
Yeah, I mean, but Jimmy's, ooh, some more kind of, why did he just talk about that horrible thing? You can sort of disarm someone with laughter and then use that disarming moment to either say something sort of punchy or... Yeah. You know, offensive, depending on what your tastes are.
I feel like I know so much about you, though. Too much about you, John, from your stand-up.
Uh-huh.
Does anybody ever say to you, close to you, say, you maybe overstepped the mark?
There are ways of telling personal stuff that to stop it being too personal, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, sure.
And also, you know, I might tell a story which every element of it is true, but it didn't necessarily happen in that order at that time.
Yeah.
So it's a sort of not ever one to quote Top Gear, but James May said something quite insightful. I think he's the insightful one, but he said the thing with Top Gear is it's real but it's not true. So for example, if they did this sketch where they're all in a like diner and one of them, and they're all driving three different cars bought for £1 or something, and they've got to drive it from Gloucester to Cheltenham with no petrol or something, and one of them arranged to steal the other one's car. Now obviously watching that, you know that he knows that's going to happen. But it's still but it can still be a real challenge. That's where the similarities between my work and Top Gear end. But you I guess you know what I mean.
More from Mr. John Robins in just a second, and we're going to talk about the tour dates and all the stuff he's got lined up in the rest of the year. But right now, in fact, John, you could do this. We'll get our value for money for you. Would you like to introduce the Stone Roses for us? Because I listen to you doing this on a Saturday. You do it beautifully.
Coming up right now, folks, Northern Songstrels, the Stone Roses.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Amazons are still here. Matt and Joe, new music is outstanding. Mother, the new single. Cannot wait to hear that live, boys.
Yes.
Now, one question I'd just like to ask while you're here. Last time you were in, we never talked about Slash Gordon, did we?
We did. I had a pee next to the two guys from the two ginger guys from Biffy Clyro. And really silent, and we like looked at each other like, this is weird.
Like a scene from Harry.
We're all ginger, okay?
2 years have passed since. Yeah. Is there an update? Joe, have you got one for us?
My best one, I think, was at Isle of Wight Festival. We'd already played, and I went into the toilets. We'd just done an interview with Ricky Wilson, and me and Ricky both went to the toilets at the same time, and I was drinking whiskey, and we were next to each other, and I was like, oh, do you want some whiskey? And he was like, no, I'm on the TV. And as he's weeing, I'm pouring the whiskey into his mouth, and I'm like, you're a rock star, you've got to drink whiskey, right? And he's like, oh, right,
okay. Literally trying to be professional.
And one last thing before you go as well, we mentioned Reading and Leeds. Green Day headlined there in 2013, and tonight our classic album is American Idiot. Were they a band that played a part in your career as well?
Absolutely. I think American Idiot especially That was a big argument with my parents because I think they knew about the lyrical content of that one. And I had to kind of like fight for that one. But it was, I think I saw Holiday on Top of the Pops. And I think it was a live recording and it just kind of burst out the screen for me. And from then on, I was pretty hooked.
Yeah.
And it was an amazing album, really. I think what they tried to achieve from the ambition creatively of that album and how they executed it, making a punk opera, I thought that was amazing.
If we get bored of playing our own songs in rehearsals, we sometimes just do covers, but like rather than going and pre-learning something, it's like, right, let's do that.
Yeah.
And we've managed St. Jimmy all the way through.
No, Jesus to Suburbia, bro.
Oh, that's it,
We've done that the whole way through.
Yeah. It's a good go-to, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
It gets the blood pumping, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, lads, listen, as does the new song, Mother, from you boys. I think that is going to really shake the fillings out of the teeth, rearrange the skeleton. What was it, Matt Bellamy from Musetters? It's a trouser wobbler of a tune.
Very nice.
Great to see you boys.
Thanks.
Good to see you, man. And we'll see you on the road very soon.
Radio X. Gordon Smart. Radio X. The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
I was actually quite surprised by how old this album was. September 2004, that's 14 years ago, Green Day released American Idiot. How about these for some stats? 19 million copies sold worldwide. It won the Grammy for the Best Rock Album, and it did the double, number one in the UK and number one in the US. Since then, it inspired a Broadway musical and a film adaptation. That's a successful album, I think we'll all agree. The title track, obviously, Holiday, Boulevard of Broken Dreams, Wake Me Up When September Ends. What an album. Loads of brilliant tunes on it. Earlier on, we had Matt from the Amazons on, and he described it as a punk opera, and he's absolutely spot on. But get on this, it very nearly never happened. I never knew this story until today. Back in 2002, Green Day recorded and nearly finished an album. It was called Cigarettes and Valentines. The master tapes were stolen, they were nicked, they were pinched. But instead of re-recording those songs, they started from scratch. And that is where American Idiot was born. What an amazing story that is. So at the time as well, to make it even more impressive, the boys in Green Day weren't really getting on. In fact, the atmosphere was pretty grim. So they decided to be a little bit more collaborative to try and improve the mood. Their technique to make that happen was by writing 30-second songs that they could collaborate on and be quite ambitious, challenge each other. And Billy Joe Armstrong said this. He said, "It started getting more serious as we tried to outdo one another. We kept connecting these little half-minute bits until we had something." That led to the writing of Homecoming and Jesus of Suburbia, two punk opera epics, and it influenced the band to write a concept album. Right, the album follows that story of Jesus of Suburbia, which is a brilliant little title, isn't it? A lower middle class American teenager. It's all about anti-war. It's a protest album. And let's just think back to another American president, George W. Bush, who came with a bit of a reputation. And it was a real, real view of US culture at the time. Billy Joe Armstrong said the album's about rage versus love. Sums it up brilliantly. I remember a couple of years after it came out, the opening of the Simpsons movie. Yes. It was brilliant stuff. Right, so here we go. A real treat for you tonight. Green Day, American Idiot is 14 years old. How about these for two massive songs? Boulevard of Broken Dreams, but right now, American Idiot.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
X.
So there you have it, our classic album, American Idiot, Green Day. 14 years ago, I had a really funny message actually from Harvey on Twitter. 2004 is only a couple of years ago. Enough of this time travel nonsense. We just finished it off there with Boulevard of Broken Dreams, written by Billy Joe in New York when he had a few weeks on his own. Noel Gallagher disagrees about where it came from, though. Has the same chord progression as Wonderwall. And Noel said, "Normally I wait for my musical heroes to die before I steal their music." Oof. Green Day donated some of the profits from the song to Hurricane Katrina's relief efforts. What an amazing gesture that was. Before that, I played you American Idiot, the title track. A properly upfront critique of George W. Bush and the US media as well. It re-entered the UK charts when? Last year. I wonder why. Anyway, the song you can hear in the background, that's Jesus of Suburbia. Cracking stuff. The fifth single, 9 minutes long. If you can find it on a jukebox, you get your money's worth. It's been compared to Quadrophenia and some other rock operas as well. Amazing bit of writing. Whilst recording, Green Day set up a pirate radio station. Such a brilliant idea. They used to play their jam sessions out and used to make some prank calls as well. Wouldn't get away with that now. Right, the album cover, just think about that as well. Absolutely, truly iconic. The heart grenade image, proper attempt to show the album was really political. And you can definitely see that influence from the Chinese communist propaganda images. Absolutely iconic stuff. How about that for a classic album? American Idiot and Green Day. Some lovely messages from you as well. Nana White Pepper on Twitter says, catapulted Green Day into the mainstream for a second time, which is quite incredible. Marjorie Doors, prophetic. That's a good call. Stephen Panther as well. Jesus Suburbia is one incredible piece of music. And Tori says, end to end bangers.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm Gordon Smart with John Robbins. We're really confusing the lineup on Radio X today, but producer Vin's here just to make it feel comfortable and safe.
Yep.
Is that the role Vin provides in your life?
Yes, very much so. He sweats so that we don't have to.
That's exactly what happens. Now, John, you're off on tour. Your tour's called Hot Shame this time.
Yes.
Because that's what you're an expert in.
Hot Shame. And the tour poster is a sort of inspired by the Queen album Hot Space. Yep. Though unfortunately, because the Queen album Hot Space also inspired the front cover of Blur's Greatest Hits, many people think that my tour poster is based on Blur's Greatest Hits, but it really isn't. It's really not. Is based on Hot Space by Queen.
Just in case there's any doubt, it might be in some way Queen related.
Yes, it is. Well, there's no mention of them in the show at present.
Yet.
Yet.
Right, John, you're going on tour. What's the worst gig you've done? Because we had a beauty from your former flatmate, John Richardson, recently. It was agony. Agony. And he said, you've got to ask Robbins that. That's my John Richardson impression.
Did he?
Yeah.
Why did he ask... I know what he's talking about, my worst gig. But it's kind of semi-unfair because I was so new. In terms of the worst I have ever been received by an audience, we were doing a local community festival in Bristol, which used to be the biggest free music festival in Europe, called Ashton Court Festival. And there was a sort of comedy tent of about around 400 people, and on the Saturday I did very well. It was probably only about my 20th gig or something, so I had like 10 minutes of material, and I did it on the Saturday. It went really well. I was really nervous. And then on the Sunday I just was very confident and thought, well, I'm going to be amazing because last gig yesterday was so cool and great. So I went around the festival, and because it's where I'm from, there were loads of like teachers and ex-housemates and school friends there.
Ex-girlfriends?
Yeah, a few of those in the mix. So I like walked around the festival gathering them up, saying, come to the comedy tent, I'm on at 2, it's going to be amazing. And walked out sort of making a slightly arrogant gesture as if...
ta-da!
No, more of a kind of like...
That
come on, and then proceeded to die so hard. And I left the stage miming, shooting myself in the head repeatedly. But it taught me a very valuable lesson that you need to be nervous before you perform, and you never, ever assume a gig is going to go well. Or assume people are going to like you, or assume that your first joke's going to work, or anything like that.
It was the start of the John Robbins shame journey.
Yeah, well, no, that was a sort of a high watermark that it was the start.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
I'm Gordon Smart with John Robbins. He's announced a new tour called Hot Shame.
Yes, sir.
Queen-inspired, lots of shame.
Lots of shame. And my friend Robin is also a musician and a comedian. He's supporting me, and I spoke to him today, and he said, I'm a bit worried that... some of my bits that I'm planning are a bit depressing. And I said, don't worry, that's going to fit right in.
I'm looking at the tour dates here, right? And you're spending a bit of time near home. There's quite a lot of Bristol and surrounding area gigs.
Yes, well, frustratingly, I mean, humble brag alert, but the size of room in Bristol I am now fortunate enough to be able to fill is closed to be made less racist by the council. Because it, like many parts of Bristol, is named after a slave trader slash owner. And rightly so, they want the architecture and names of Bristol establishments to reflect the, modern and Sorry.
Keep going,
I'm
John.
I'm this very badly.
Keep going, John.
They don't want their buildings named after racists.
That's right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's been closed down to be made, A, less racist, and B, improve the theatre.
Right, okay. So you've got to do more dates, smaller venues.
So I'm doing 6 nights at the Tobacco Factory, which is one of my favourite venues in Bristol, and also an extra night at the Redgrave Theatre.
Yeah,
which is in Clifton, which is a lovely, lovely room as well. Yeah,
yeah.
Radio X,
the Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That song is just for John Robbins, Queen, Seven Seas of Rye. Are you happy with that selection?
Yeah, certainly happy. Why do we never play with Seven Seas of Rye?
Oh dear.
I was looking at Vin then when I said that.
There starts.
Why do we never play Seven Seas of Rye?
We never got you as a guest.
No, but why do me and Ellis never play? Oh, I see, right.
I'm Gordon Smart, this is Radio X, John Robbins.
I would love to interview myself.
I was going to ask John if you'd help me with my book.
Yes. What's your book?
It's called Slash Gordon. It's a terrible pun, but it's about awkward encounters in the bathroom with famous people.
Ah.
When you have to make a conversation. Have you found yourself in a bathroom with somebody famous, and could you regale us with your version of that story?
I once drank a comedian's wee. Is that?
That's what I was looking for, okay. John. Can you tell us? Please tell me, right? Whose wee would we least like to drink? Or who, oh God, just tell us a story, John.
So I used to tell a story on stage. It contains a swear word. Are you allowed to bleep?
Yes.
Okay. So I was doing a show in Edinburgh outside of the festival at the Pleasance. It was a university gig, and I'd been drinking shandy before the gig, and I was comparing, and backstage there was loads of like equipment, like ladders and stuff, and I put my shandy on the ladder before I went out to compare, and then I brought the headline act on, and that headline, that was Reginald D. Hunter.
Yeah.
And I went back and I grabbed my shandy and took a big old gulp, and it became immediately clear. And like the exactly what happened occurred to me in my head while it was in my mouth, is that Reg had needed a wee backstage, hadn't known when I was going to bring him on, had grabbed a glass, weed into it like a pro,
yeah,
and put it right next to my half pint of flat shandy,
entirely innocently.
And afterwards, and you need your bleep button ready. I was very new act at this time, and quite not intimidated by him, but kind of in awe of Reg. And I went up to him in the dressing room, and I said, Reg, did you do a wee back while I was on stage? He went, you? And I said, I was drinking shandy, and when I came off, I drank what I thought was my shandy, but I think I may have accidentally drunk from your wee. And he said, well, for about 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to be one funny m-. And big laughs in the dressing room.
Maybe that's the secret elixir that's been the
maybe
basis.
It has. Things have sort of got better since then.
We could sell his wee. Be funny like John Robbins and Reginald D. Hunter's wee. John, would you like to tell us where we can get tickets?
I'd love to. So you can get tickets for Hot Shame, which is touring, starts in the Edinburgh Festival.
Yeah.
Tickets aren't available for that yet, but they'll be on sale very soon. And then after Edinburgh, it's on tour September, October, November. And you can get tickets from johnrobbins.com/gigs. And also you can get tickets from Ticketmaster. But do be aware, if Ticketmaster have sold out, they're always available from venues. People sometimes, it can be quite confusing in fairness, because basically Ticketmaster will have an allocation, and that allocation either will or won't sell. And I don't want to get into the technicalities of it, but sometimes they mark the unsold ones
back to
venues too close to the date, so you end up with small chunks of unsold squares of seats. However, broadly, they do a very good job.
Go and see John Robbins on tour. We've seen him a number of times. Vin, would you rate John highly as a comedian?
Who is it you said was better than me last week?
I know, that's why I'm bringing
Daniel Kitson. Yeah, I'll take that.
Go and see Robbins on tour. It's happening in September, isn't it? How many dates in total?
45 dates. There might be a couple more added, and about 25 dates at the Edinburgh Festival.
Excellent stuff. Go and see Robbins. And John, one thing I really love about you is your love and hunger for pub sports and the pub. Good on you.
I texted someone today to say that mind pints never taste as good as real pints.
There's the merch for the tour. Radio X.